It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott back in the Racing Boys studio in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm sorry that my face is a little blown out here today. We've been working on trying to get this camera to work a little bit better, but it's not working as well as we'd like. So I'm going to look like Casper the Ghost today. Boo. All right, man. We've got a lot going on today. In a little bit, we are going to have Sam Haferteef. He is going to join us by phone. He's going to talk to us about his win last night. Night number one of the 360 Nationals here at Knoxville Raceway. What a great race that was. And also, a little bit later in the show, Bob Baker from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is going to join us here as well. So it should be a good time talking to Bob. It's always good talking to Bob Baker about the Hall of Fame. So much going on up here right now, folks, that a lot of people. Let me just say this before we get going today on the show. I've been coming up here to the 360 Nationals since 1998, and I have not seen a crowd of this size for the 360 Nationals. We're in the North Campground, and the North Campground, that's where we keep our motorhome, is far more crowded than it has been in years past. It is unbelievable how many people are rolling in early for the 360 Nationals up here this week. More than I've seen in the last several years, maybe ever, for that matter. And it is really great to see the people starting to accept the 360 Nationals, wanting to show up early, wanting to hang out. You know, what's going on up here this week and next week is the summer version of the Chili Bowl Nationals. And I say this because this is a social event. It's just like the Chili Bowl. People go to the Chili Bowl not just to see the races, but they go to the Chili Bowl so they can see the people that they don't see all winter long. And the same thing goes on here at the Knoxville Nationals during the 360 Nationals and the 410 Nationals. People show up so they can hang out with their friends, reunite with their friends, and just have a good time. And that's what part of this is all about. It's all about keeping the open wheel community together as a whole. And would you agree with me on that, Austin?
Yeah, I think you got a point. You know, it's a party. I mean, 27,000 people show up for the 410 Nationals. Right. I'm pretty sure, you know, it's going to be bigger this year. I'm not really sure what year that was that number came out. But, you know, I know the both front stretch and back stretch are full and plenty of other people around. And that's what everybody looks forward to every year. And, you know, I think it's going to continue to grow. And it just kind of, like you said, mimics the Chili Bowl. And, you know, it's just, I mean, that's two events, you know, about, you know, 4 or 5 months apart that, you know, it's that perfect, like, halfway, you know, mark between, you know, race season when they can go see their friends in the summer and do the same thing in the winter.
Right, right. You know, I love coming up here because we see a lot of people. When we come over here, it's just like today. Tommy's got some friends that we met up in the Pacific Northwest that are selling his T-shirts for him this weekend. And we see a lot of people that, you know, you travel all over this country like we did for the last 13 years, and you meet a lot of people along the way. And you run into those people up here at Knoxville, and you run into them at the Chili Bowl. So that's the only way that I could compare the two events is I think these are the two social events. And there's another one that you got to add in there. It's the PRI show. The PRI show is another one of those shows to where you go to, you get to see a lot of people that you normally don't get to see. and you get to interact with them as well. So the PRI show is another one of those events. Would you agree with that too?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, it falls into a different category. You know, it's not a race, but you know, it's still involved with racing, and it's something that, you know, you see the same crowd go to. So yeah, I definitely think, you know, the PRI show is right there on the social gathering. I've only went to it for, you know, 1 year, but I definitely, you know, want to go back for the atmosphere and you know what the show offers.
Yeah, well, you definitely go to the PRI show to get your marketing done if you can. There's a lot of opportunities to get in there, shake some hands, introduce yourself to some people, try to get some people on board with your program, your race team, your podcast, whatever you're trying to do. It's a lot of salesmanship going on down at the PRI show. Let's talk about last night's race, Austin. Sam Hayfortief, he picks up the win opening night of the 360 Nationals. What did you think about that race last night? In the beginning, Sam was, I think he was running like third, right? And I think it was, who was it? Was it Garrett Williamson running up front?
Yeah, Thomas Kennedy was leading early on. Garrett was second, and Sam was third.
Right. What did you think about that race last night? Give me a breakdown of it.
You know, I thought it was a pretty good race. You know, I'll go back to my picks here that I had, you know, on yesterday's show. I think I had, 11 drivers I picked. And out of the 11 cars I picked, they were 11 out of the 15 cars in the top five were the ones I picked. The top four were all of mine, 6th, 7th, and then from 9th to 13th were all the ones that we talked on yesterday. So I feel like I had a pretty good, you know, idea of what the race would be like, and it's pretty cool that you know, it kind of fell that way. And, you know, I was looking at the, you know, the lineup before the feature, and I saw Sam starting, you know, second row, third row, and I knew he'd be fast, but I don't know why I didn't pick him. I thought Thomas Kennedy could just, you know, kind of walk out and walk away with it, and he did for a while, and then, you know, about, you know, halfway, it's either his stuff just went away or he just, you know, missed the line one time, and that's all it took to get him out of his rhythm, and right. And it just, you know, his run faded back to six. So it's cool to see Sam, you know, have some more success at Knoxville. It looks like, you know, he won the opening night of the Nationals last year. So, you know, two of his three wins at Knoxville have been during the Nationals. So, you know, I think he'd like to add a fourth one, you know, tomorrow night. But, you know, for the race overall, I thought it was pretty good. I bet you Shane Golubic feels like he's about an inch tall right now after his mistake in the heat race. You know, he just, I got to just blame Shane on that, really. I mean, I get what he was doing. It, you know, that spot was important, but on the first lap of the first heat race, it wasn't that big of a deal, I would feel like, you know.
Not that pressing.
No, and you got to know who you're racing. And the car in front of him was McKenna Hasse, who, you know, was on the front side of the invert. And if you're on the front side of the invert, you didn't have a good qualifying time. Right. So you knew, and with the past of how she's been this year, she's been kind of off the pace. And if you're the quickest car there by, you know, quite a bit, you're going to drive by her at some point. I figured if he would have just followed her through 3 and 4, he would have driven by her on the front stretch and would have been gone. You know, and I just think, you know, it just wasn't on his mind to be patient like that. And I get that. I mean, you're quick time and you're trying to make everything happen early, which you have to do at Knoxville. And it's just, it bit him, and it'll do that to you. And it just ruined his 360 Nationals ultimately.
You know, it's hard to bet against Sam when he's starting in the front two rows. You know, he's a five-time Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour champion. He has as much 360 experience as anybody out there that's running this week. Now, granted, it's not Knoxville, right? And there for a minute, man, how about Aaron Reitzel? He started seventh. He ran third. What did you think of Reitzel's performance last night?
You know, I thought it was pretty good. It was good enough to you know, come out of last night leading the overall points. You know, he has, let me pull up my paper here, if I can find it.
487 points.
Yeah, he has 487 points, which, right, what you shoot for during the Nationals is a perfect 500. 200 points for quick time, 100 points for a heat race win, and 200 for the feature. So you want to shoot for a perfect 500, and he's 13 points away from that. And, you know, the closest guy to him is Ayrton Jennington in second with 479. So, you know, he's Ayrton's 8 points behind him, and then it just falls off from there. So, you know, I think Aaron did a good job, you know, throughout the night of being really consistent and making every spot count. And you know, he said in his post-race interview, if you're usually winning your qualifying night, you didn't qualify very good. And right. You're going to be kind of buried in points. And, you know, Sam's third, but, you know, Sam didn't qualify, you know, that bad. So, you know, I think, you know, Aaron's job in the feature, you know, getting to the front was pretty good. And what he needed to do to put himself in a good position on Saturday, I just, you know, just got to hope he can put 30 laps together without any mistakes.
Right. I got to talk about Ayrton just for a second here. He started sixth. He ended up running sixth. But did you notice the line that he was running? He was running right through the middle of the track. Did you see that?
Yeah, so I noticed that, and when I was up there a while ago, it was like that, which most tracks, if you're running through the middle where it's slick, it's never good. But the weird thing about Knoxville is it's that line can be there for, you know, half the feature, you know, half the night or whatever, and it can work. It's usually really good on like restarts when everybody kind of rolls down to the bottom and you can run through the middle and carry more momentum and get by them. And it's also really good if you're sliding somebody, you can catch that moisture in the middle. And, you know, he's making it work for quite a bit. And then he just got to Gio and he just couldn't get by Gio. Gio is just the same pace on the bottom. And he just couldn't get to his right rear on the straightaway to make any runs on him. And that's just really kind of what stalled Ayrton and just kind of left them right at the top five. And on the restarts, he just, you know, that one restart they had, he couldn't get off a four when they fired to get a good run into one. And it just kind of hung him out there in fifth. But, you know, I didn't really know how the points would have worked out. You know, I didn't keep track of him as the night went on. And I'm like, man, he's going to be kind of sitting deep. And I was wrong. He's sitting second. So, you know, what he's done, you know, throughout the night was really well, really good.
Yeah. You know, I've got to say this. You know, when Garrett Williamson started running with the Lucasoil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's going to sound bad. He was a little bit like a dart without feathers, a little bit. He was on the gas, elbows up, driving the wheels off that thing. Didn't know where he was going to go sometimes. But I'm telling you, Garrett Williamson has figured out how to get around Knoxville Raceway. The kid is really starting to come into his own up here at Knoxville. Would you agree with that, Austin?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And Garrett, you know, I couldn't agree with you more on Garrett kind of being a dart without feathers. I was a victim to it a couple of times. But, you know, sometimes you got to go through that phase to learn and to go through that and learn how to get better. And I think the best thing that Garrett did for his career was going to Knoxville. It teaches you how to race, you know, really smooth but be aggressive. Garrett's, you know, shown he can be really aggressive all the time but still be consistently fast is another thing. And I think that's what Knoxville really taught him about, you know, just the way that track races and sometimes, you know, half miles are just, you know, the click for some people. And I think, you know, that's definitely the package that's, you know, working well. I know they have, you know, good equipment, and then you put them on a track that's, you know, suits his driving style. It's just going to be, you know, a combination for success. And, you know, I didn't really know how he would do last night. He's been really good with the weekly competition, but you bring all these cars in, you don't really know what to kind of expect. And to see him hang up around in the top, you know, two and three for almost the entire race was kind of surprising. But it was also, you know, surprising in a way, but I knew it would kind of paint out that way at some point.
He's starting to learn how to roll the bottom a lot better is what I noticed last night. He was definitely getting a lot better on the bottom. One of the guys that impressed me last night, he had to finish second in the B. He runs second, I think it was, to Austin McCarl. Matt Covington, who we thought was going to win the race at Lakeside Speedway the other night on Tuesday night, with the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. He ended up getting into the A main through the B. He started 22nd. He ended up running 19th. But with that being said, with his good qualifying effort, he's 12th in the points right now. Matt Covington having a good run. If you have to come out of a B and you're 12th in the points after the first night, I think that's a good thing, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best, you know, best result just result Matt could ask for, really. I mean, you know, he was about half a car length from making the A out of the heat race. You know, Garrett barely beat him, and then, you know, he was able to get locked in the feature through the B and in the feature, but, you know, he had a problem with his left rear. Either he had a wheel issue or he got into somebody and it, you know, hurt the outside half of the wheel, or just rolled the tire off the bead, and he had to come to the work area and fix it. And then, you know, he was already kind of starting back there, but all the progress that he gained, he lost, and had to drive back by where he already started. And, you know, I don't know if he doesn't have that problem, does he, you know, go from being 12th to inside the top 10 on the points, or does he just kind of stay where he is? But, you know, I think, you know, if he doesn't have that issue with that tire going down, I think he's in a better position. But even with what happened last night, he's not too bad. You know, the top 20 lock in and overall points after tonight into the feature tomorrow. So I think he has, you know, a good little buffer to lean back on.
Considering what he had to go through last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know. Who did you feel? Did you feel that Sam was the fastest car last night? Or did you feel that Reitzel or Gio Selzy was the fastest car? Which one of those guys?
I think you have to, there's probably the top, I think Gio, Aaron, and Sam are probably all really close on speed.
I do too.
You know, Sam came from fourth to win it. Gio came from third to second, and Aaron came from seventh to third. So, you know, I think, you know, they're all pretty close on speed. I think, you know, Gio might be the third fastest car. I think you could probably put Aaron maybe the fastest early on. Then from the midpoint of the race to the feature, it'd probably be Sam. But, you know, I think those three right there are probably the fastest cars, you know, out of last night's feature.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, listen, we're going to get Sam Hapertief on the phone here in just a second. We're going to talk to him. We were hoping to get him up here to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, but you know what? I hate to get these guys up early after a big win the night before here at the Knoxville Nationals, 360 Nationals. So we'll get him on the phone. We'll talk to him. Sam Hapertief, the winner of last night's night number one here at the 360 Nationals, the ASCS 360 Nationals at Knoxville Raceway. He'll join us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Dad. There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
So here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network, Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Mike Marler wins opening night with the 35th annual USA Nationals last night. You know, Mike Marler, a regular visitor on Mostly Motorsports. He joins us from time to time. He's a great guy, man, and I'm so happy for him to win that first night of the 35th annual USA Nationals. And I also want to remind everybody, the World Memorial is going to be taking place, the USAC NWRA, this weekend at Lakeside and Nevada Speedway. Wish I could be there for the Lakeside race. That would be a lot of fun to watch that. But we'll just have to figure that out. And, you know, there's nowhere better, to be than Knoxville, right? I mean, this is the sprint car capital of the world. I'm at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and I don't know if you know it or not, but they have a great track tribute that's going on with Ascot Park right now down in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Folks, you need to get down there and check it out. They got a great group of cars down there, driver memorabilia, t-shirts, just all kinds of great things. It brings back the memory of Ascot Park. I just learned today that Ascot Park closed in 1990. I thought it closed in the early 80s. I went there in the late 70s, early 80s, when I lived in Redondo Beach, California. I would just travel right down through Torrance, get over to Ascot Park and watch the races over there in Gardena, California. It was such a great time in my life to be able to watch those races. It was so much fun. So if you want to come up here and you want to see what's going on right now with the great track tribute to Ascot Park, come on up here and see it. It is, they've got these videos running, right? And when you watch the videos, it just, it takes you back in a time when, maybe it's a better place back in the day. You know, when I was a young kid growing up going to the races, man, there was nothing like going to Riverside Stadium, Olympic Stadium, Lakeside Speedway, I-70 Speedway, Shawnee. I used to go to a little racetrack up there on 40 Highway outside of Lawrence called Shawnee. It was a great little racetrack as well. Marshall was a great racetrack. Sedalia was a great racetrack. So many great venues to watch motorsports around the Kansas City area all those years. And it's just, you know, for the people that lived out in California, I'm sure they miss Ascot Park, because that place was just like second to none. If I'm not mistaken, Dave, didn't they run out there 4 days a week? They did. They ran out there 4 days a week. They'd run motorcycles one night. They'd run stock cars one night, open wheel cars one night. And I don't know what they did on the fourth night, but they did run out there frequently. And there's a great video. If you come up here to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, J.C. Agajanian Jr. tells this great story about Evel Knievel calling his dad and asking his dad to jump 15 cars on a Wild World of Sports segment. Now, Evel knew exactly what he was doing, right? He's a smart guy. He knew that if he could jump those cars, 15 cars on Wild World of Sports, that would give him a worldwide attraction. And that's exactly what happened. He talked him into doing it. He wanted a piece of the gate. This is a great story. J.C. Agajanian Jr. tells this story, and you got to come up here and watch it. He talks about the story where Evel walked into the office. He wanted a piece of the headcount. J.C. Agajanian said no. He said, but I'll give you $1 for every person above what we had last year. And so when it came down, Evel made the jump. He cleared the 15 cars. He goes in to see J.C. Agajanian, and J.C. tells him, he gives him an envelope with $5,000 in it. And Evel looks in there, and he goes, well, there's something wrong here. He goes, what do you mean there's something wrong? He says, I've never had a promoter pay me more than what they told me they were going to pay me. And that's exactly what you did. He said, well, you did a good job, and that's why we're paying you more. It's a great story. I can't tell it near as good as J.C. Agajanian Jr. says it. So you need to come up here to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out, and check out the great videos they have of Ascot Park, all the great cars they have up here. It's just a tremendous exhibit. So get up here to the Knoxville Nationals, check it out, and enjoy some of the great memories of Ascot Park. And while you're up here, why don't you buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition Corvette? It's a C8R Corvette. It's got 495 horsepower. It's a 6.2-liter motor. It's got so many cool things about it. I can't even begin to tell you everything about it. It's got paddle shifting on it, rear spoiler, front splitter. It's got so many cool things about this race car. And again, folks, this is a car that only one of 1,000 of these cars were made, right? I saw one online the other day go for sale for $150,000. I saw one on Barrett Jackson during a charity auction go for $300,000. So you pick it. That car is going to be worth somewhere between $150,000 and $300,000. And it is a great, great way to support the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Want to thank, special thanks goes out to Pelham Motors. You can find out more about them at PelhamMotors.com. They are the people that are behind this. And while you're here, why don't you also buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Chassis Complete 410 race car, right? Mole racing engines in it. It is a, it's a complete car, folks, right? It is race ready, ready to push off sprint car, right? So get up here, and if you can't do it online, if you can't come up here in person, I should say, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And with the Corvette, if you want to do that online, you could do it at CorvetteC8RContest.com. That's Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. So if you want to try to win a sprint car or a Corvette, that'd be a good way to do it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to try to figure out what's going on here with our audio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff maybe, all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at sprintcarstuff.com. is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. I'm Scott Traylor, Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott back in Racing Boys HQ. Kirk, how you been doing, bud? I haven't talked to you all day today. How you doing?
Well, you know, we could be doing
better. Oh, my God. That is real loud. My God, that is so loud.
We could be doing better if we got Sam Haperteef on the air, but technical issues, you couldn't hear Sam. So that's we'll try to fix that and make
Kirk's
sure that
audio
works the
needs,
next time.
Kirk's audio needs to be brought down. It's blaring.
It is.
It's just popping.
I don't know what you're hearing different, but it's right where it needs to be for me.
Oh, my God, it's so loud in my ears.
I'll speak softer. How's that?
How about that? That'd do good.
No, I'm doing great. Great races last night.
Yeah, no doubt. What'd you think about that 360 Nationals win last night with Sam Haperteef?
Well, he had him covered. There's no doubt about it. That's best I've seen Sam at the 360 Nationals. He won back in May in a regular Saturday night show, so that should be an indication of how well he could run at Knoxville. But that's by far the best I'd ever seen him run at the 360 Nationals, for sure. He's got a shot at it.
Oh, I think Sam's definitely going to be a contender for the win.
Yeah.
When it comes to Saturday night. Let's talk a little bit about Buddy Kofoit winning the BC 39 last night at the Indy Dirt Track. What did you guys think of that race? That was Sly Job City, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a classic. That was entertaining as heck. I mean, when Buddy and Cannon McIntosh were going at it, that was about as good as it can get. That track was in great shape last night, and it was a great show at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Austin, what did you think of that race?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, you don't see a lot of tracks, even with midgets, build a big curb like that, and for the curb to really roll up, you know, like a ramp almost to the wall. It was just, you don't see that very often. You see it at the Chili Bowl sometimes, and that's about it. You know, you see
it was pretty gnarly.
It was. Yeah. You see it, you know, maybe at Lincoln Park with the sprint cars on, when USAC comes to town. But besides that, you don't see that very often. And usually when it is like that, it's really hard on cars. But you know, it only took a couple cars last night, and it was pretty smooth where you can run up, you know, on top of it and get a big run. And we saw that's what got Buddy to the lead and was able to get, him to that slider fest with Cannon McIntosh. But, yeah, I thought that was a pretty good race, you know, good recovery from the night before with the rain that came in and you know, probably not some favorable circumstances to have a race with. But, you know, for what they were dealt, you know, didn't disappoint.
Yeah. Man, you got to feel bad for Mitchell Moles, though. He was running third, I think, at the time when he got upside down, right?
Yeah, he was running up front. You know, you led, you know, a majority of the race for the first handful of laps. And,
right.
And it was just, you know, kind of, you know, riding up there. Then you made a mistake off of four, and that's all it took. And it opened the door for Cannon McIntosh. And at that point, it's just almost freight train city. But he didn't fall that far back. But, you know, he just kind of lost his rhythm. And it was just kind of, you know, riding, you know, the back part of the top five and just, you know, caught the curb the wrong way. We saw it happen to Cannon McIntosh in the heat race the night before. And you know, Cannon was able to rebound. But unfortunately for Mitchell, that's just not what happened for him.
Right.
Pretty good battle between Thomas Messerall and Justin Grant for third. Grant had third place, looked like wrapped up, and then Messerall was able to get around him. He started 11th, but Grant, really the biggest mover of the night after he comes out of the C main. He started 18th of the A and finished in fourth, but he could have had third place. So good night for those two guys, especially for Messerall, who was able to get that last podium spot there right there at the end of the race.
I don't think anybody will argue that Justin Grant was probably the fastest car on the track last night. Anybody disagree with me on that?
I think up until right at the very end, he was. There's no doubt about it.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think if he could have started, you know, closer to the front, I think he would have had, you know, a good battle with those guys right there. And we saw him get to, on that restart, we saw him get to, you know, the front two. And he had a spot or a shot to start mixing it up with them. And there wasn't really any track to go to. Buddy was on the slider on the bottom. Cannon was on the top. And, you know, he needed the momentum, so he committed to the top. But, you know, it was already had a car. He was already following a car, so he wasn't going to get that big of a run. And if he would have went to the bottom, he would have lost pretty much what he had going. And just was kind of a tough spot right there. But, yeah, I think he definitely had, you know, one of the fastest cars. And, you know, if he doesn't have to start in the C main, he might be the winner of this deal.
You know, you got to give a shout out to Kaylee Bryson, too. She started 15th. She ran 7th last night. But I think maybe the biggest disappointment for me personally of watching the BC 39 last night was Brady Bacon. He started 5th, and he went backwards. He ran 8th. I thought he would work his way to the front and be a player in the middle of this thing. Didn't you guys think he'd be somewhat of a player? But he really was just – he just wasn't one of the guys that had enough speed to win that race last night.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by that. I figured – when he started 5th, that he'd have a chance at a top 3 finish, but he just didn't have the car to match up against Kofoid and McIntosh and Grant and Messerall right there at the end. Even Kyle Larson, who ended up in 5th place in that race last night. Brady's car just wasn't as fast as those guys.
Austin?
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely thought he would have a shot. I kind of thought he would have a shot just, you know, coming into the weekend. But, you know, you look at what Brady races primarily sprint cars, and he doesn't do a whole lot of midget racing, and he just doesn't, you know, I know they have good equipment, but, you know, you got to be, I feel like with the midgets, you got to race them all the time to know how to make them, you know, really go fast, you know, all night long and be there every night. And, you know, he doesn't run but a handful of races, you know, every year, and kind of same with his wing program. And I think that sometimes it can help him and sometimes it hurts him. And I think, you know, maybe that was, you know, one last night was a part of that hurt him. And it's just, you know, didn't have all the experience, maybe some knowledge there to know what to do for the track that they had. I think, you know, it was kind of tricky because the bottom was good for a while and the top got really good. And it was just, it was kind of an odd track, I would feel like, that they don't see a whole lot. So, you know, I think if he maybe ran some more midget racing, he would definitely be a contender. But, I mean, still, he doesn't run a whole lot of midget races and in the top 10 of one of the biggest races of the year.
Well, one of the reasons we had such high.
Hold on. Let me just say this. I don't think it matters when it comes to Brady Bacon. I think Brady Bacon can strap in and drive a midget, a non-wing car, a wing sprint car, and he can drive it at the highest level of any of those cars. I'm one of those guys, when I look at Brady Bacon, and I say this with the utmost respect, he is the closest thing I see to Jesse Hockett. When I look at Brady Bacon, I think of somebody that is in the caliber of talent that Jesse Hockett was. Jesse could drive a midget. He could drive a non-wing car. He could drive a wing car, 360, 410. It didn't matter. And I think Brady Bacon's one of those guys. Would anybody disagree with
that? I agree with you. But the biggest thing that we're seeing now that I feel like that we had difference between when Jesse raced and then now is how important a crew chief is. You got to have a guy that knows what's going on. If you know, you can be, you know, a Kyle Larson, and I think if Kyle Larson didn't have Paul Silva, he would still be a really good contender with the sprint car. but would he have done what he did in 2020 without Paul? I don't know. Maybe not. But that's what I kind of feel like with Brady. I don't know what Brady's situation is, if he has a crew chief or if he doesn't. But you know, if it's a sprint car crew chief, well, it's all sprint car guys racing a midget. So you know, now you're competing against guys that just race midgets, and I think, you know, he can drive anything. It's like Kyle Larson or anybody that, you know, of that caliber. But it comes down to having somebody that has, you know, experience and knowledge of how to make him go fast.
Well, I was going to say earlier, one of the reasons we have such high expectations for Brady Bacon, especially at this event, he won the very first BC39 in 2018. So it's not like he hasn't had success driving a midget. He was the first ever BC39 winner.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know what you guys think about Mike Marler winning that night number one of the 35th annual USAR Nationals. What do you guys think about that? Mike, he's such a good guy, man. He never says no to us whenever we ask him to come on the show. What a great run by him last night.
He took advantage of Jonathan Davenport's mechanical problem. Looked like I think there was a report that he had an ignition go bad in the 49 car, and that allowed Marler to take the lead. But I think he had a chance to outrun Jonathan Davenport the way he was ripping the high side, that he might have had a chance to get around Jonathan Davenport there in that race. It was 11 laps in when he took advantage of that situation, and he dominated from there on to the end of the race. So just because Davenport broke doesn't mean that Marler couldn't have still outran Davenport, because I do think Marler had the fastest car.
Yeah. I noticed that Bishop, he ran fourth last night. Tanner English was third. Brent Larson was second. Was there any of those guys that were put pressure on Mike Mahler at the end there? Kirk,
no.
Was ready? I didn't see the race last night, so I can't tell you.
No. Once Mahler inherited the lead, there was nobody that had anything for him. And he just ran a perfect line around that racetrack last night. He had it figured out. There's no doubt about it.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to take our final break of the day.
I do have you wanted to hear some sound from Mike Marler? We do have that if you want to hear.
I want to take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll play that sound. Okay. All right. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. I'm Scott Traylor, Austin O'Neill, Kirk Elliott back in Racing Boys HQ. I'm here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. What a great honor it is to be here. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing better than going to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. If you get a chance to come up to Knoxville for any reason, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, folks. 7 days a week. They're only closed on the big holidays. You got to get up here. You got to check out the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It is such an honor to be here this week. We were going to play that soundbite. I'm sorry that I went to break there, but Mike Marler, he picked up night number one at the 35th annual USA Nationals last night. Let's play that sound that Mike Marler, the interview that he did after that win last night, okay?
And that says conducted by Hannah Newhouse, who is a pit reporter for Dirt Vision, courtesy of Dirt Vision after his big feature win at Cedar Lake last night.
Us race cars, we're pretty picky, so it's hard to make us happy. But no, it was, the car was pretty good right there. You know, Brent, man, how about Brent? He was so good here. We're on his home turf, and he's eating the track pretty good tonight. But yeah, the car was great right there. It was good in the heat and good right there. And you know, Jonathan there, I don't know what happened. I know I started catching a little bit, and I was hoping I was faster, but he might have just been breaking. Who knows?
Only a 30-lap feature tonight, and of course, the laps will continue to grow over the weekend. Knowing what you know here with the racetrack, what's your takeaway, and what do you expect for 100 laps later this weekend?
You know, it'll be, I think, it'll, you know, this track gives you everything. They start off, it's really fast, and it usually ends this slick or slicker. So it'll be racy. They always have an awesome racetrack here, and we love coming up here. It's why we come this far, you know. We love coming to good racetracks, and it's pretty cool to be up here. I got to give a shout-out to my mom and dad. My dad's right there, David. Dad, hey, come here. So He taught me everything I know, and he's the guy that's been wearing everybody out in them hobby stocks down home. So him and my mom come up and give me a surprise visit for the weekend. I was happy to see him. We've been gone for 4 or 5 weeks now, and got the rest of my family with me there, Josh and Donk. But my dad come up, my mom, and Stacy. She had to go back home for work. I wish she was here. But like I say, thanks to all my sponsors. All you guys know who you are. Mesilla Valley Trucking, Mark Dotson, Craig Lindsay's here with us, him and Drew. Heck, we got Can-Am, Rockets, Derek Jones, somebody I can't think of, Bill Stein, Swift, VP, the old Blue Horn chassis here is doing good tonight.
We're joined by Bob Baker from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, one of our favorite people on the planet. And I've been talking about this Ascot tribute for so much, Bob, and now that I've experienced it, I went down there and I watched the video to where J.C. Agajanian Jr. was talking about his dad when Evel Knievel came and wanted to jump 15 cars on Wild World of Sports. That was a great story, wasn't it?
It was, and there's another story that goes with that. One of our original board members who lives out in California was at the Chili Bowl and told us a story that he was at Evel Knievel's first jump, and J.C. wasn't really sure, you know, how this was going to go over. And so Evel Knievel and J.C. Agajanian made a deal that Evel would get paid $1 for every extra person that he put into the racetrack in Ascot to watch him jump the motorcycle.
Above the amount of people that he had the year before.
Exactly. $1 for every person he had over. And so there's lots more to the story. But after it was over, there was a check for Evel Knievel, and he was very happy. He went home, counted the money, and then he came back the next week, said, "Mr. Agajanian," he goes, "you made a bad mistake." And JC says, "What's wrong?" He said, "I had my people here counting how many people were in the grandstand." He goes, "You paid me too much money." He goes, "This is how much money you should have given me." He goes, "Here's the rest of your money back." He goes, "I think you made a mistake, Mr. Knievel." He says, "Why is that?" He goes, "You only counted the people in the grandstand, not the ones in the pits." And so from that time on, JC Agajanian and Evel Knievel became best friends.
You know, I was just talking to Dave Tyson here a little bit ago. I didn't realize that Ascot Park didn't close down until 1990.
I knew it was about 1998 or 90. Is it 1990? 1990. I was very fortunate that I got to see one of the races there back in 1980 then. So that was a lot of fun.
You know, I lived in Redondo Beach, and I tell people all the time that I went down to Ascot Park. But when I was going down there, I wasn't into sprint cars at the time. I was into sheet metal. And so I went down there, and it is so funny that I would take my pictures of my race cars that I raced prior to coming out to California, and I would walk around in the pits, and I'd ask people to let them see if they'd let me drive their race car. How much nerve would it take to do that?
I don't know. Carl Edwards did that. You know, he was always passing out his business cards and running small ads in National Speed Sport News and asking everybody and their brother if they had a race car he could drive. And he told them it didn't matter what type of race car it was. You know, he just wanted to race.
Yeah. Well, this was probably 1979 or 80 when I was doing that. But, you know, I wish I still had some of those cards. Carl probably gave me, I don't know how many of those cards, but I wish I would have held on to one of them because they're probably collectibles now.
Yeah, you get him to autograph the back of it, and you'd have a good keepsake from before he got started and famous.
Yeah, Bob, let's talk about the raffles that are going on right now. We've been talking about the IMSA Corvette and the 2022 Triple X Sprint Car Chassis, a complete 410 Sprint Car Chassis. Let's talk about those a little bit because I'm telling you right now, if I could own anything, I would love to own that Corvette.
That Corvette's beautiful. It's sitting in our lobby. We're very fortunate to get it. The people at Pella Motors, Craig Ford over at Pella Motors helped us get it. One of 1,000 that were produced. We've had it in the lobby since it first came to the dealership. It's got like 4 miles on it, I think. There have been two of them that have been run through the Barrett Jackson auctions, and both went for over $300,000. And so last week we went above our record for our last Corvette. So it's definitely a very, very popular Corvette. And we're going to end up probably, you know, between $900,000 and $1 million raised for the museum when it's all over. So it has become our largest fundraiser. And this will be the fourth Corvette we give away. All you have to do is go to Corvette C8RContest.com to enter to win. Make a donation towards the museum. We give this Corvette away Saturday night, next Saturday, August 13th, right before the A feature rolls off for the Knoxville Nationals.
But not to be left behind, the 2022 XXX 410 Sprint car that they're going to be giving away, a lot of people would like to have that car too.
They would, and it comes with a complete 410 Moyle Racing engine. So that's something. You get the car and you get the engine. We give that away the weekend before Christmas on Friday, December 16th. And that's always a fun time here at the museum because it's right before Christmas. We try to find somebody that's familiar with the museum but not necessarily on the board or works here to do the drawing. And we have about 15 to 20 ancillary drawings that we do with that. There's lots of other items we give away besides just the race car. So that's a lot of fun. You know, we draw about 20 names. We get to call those people right before Christmas and tell them they've won something, and we're going to get it in the mail. The race car, they have to come to Knoxville to pick up. But this is our 14th car, the Rapple Sprint car. We've done it for 28 years. We give away a car every other year. So we've just started working on our next Rapple Sprint car, but we got to still stay concentrated on this one. This car will go to the Jackson Nationals up in Jackson, Minnesota after the Knoxville Nationals. Then it goes out to the West Coast to Skagit. Then it'll go to the Gold Cup race out in California. It'll come back to Knoxville. Then it will go to Williams Grove for the National Open in Pennsylvania. So it makes the rounds all across the country. It'll end up at PRI, then the race in the Dome in St. Louis, and then back here for the drawing December 16th.
You know, the more tickets you buy, you get a great deal. Like on the Corvette, you can buy a lot of tickets for a couple hundred bucks.
You sure can, and that's one of the things about a sweepstakes with the Corvette is you get a dollar amount. Even if it's $25, you're going to get 10 tickets. That makes the tickets $2.50 a piece, and only one person wins the Corvette, but all of the money does help us keep the museum open, and that's a big thing for us.
Bob, I got to ask you, how many people buy the $2,600 tickets for $2,000? Do you get a lot of those?
We get a few of those, but we get more of the people that donate $1,000 than we do the $2,000. We get several more, probably about 10 times as many of the $1,000 donors as we do the $2,000 donors. But I tell you what, the people that make those large donations like that are people that everybody in the racing industry knows, and they usually do it late at night, and they usually don't want any publicity. So we won't mention any names, but they're people that everybody knows in sprint car racing that just want to help the museum keep moving forward.
Bob, tell me some of the things that are coming up with the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, some of the things that we can look forward to in the future.
Well, you know, we've switched gears a little bit in the museum. We're doing the track tributes now, like with our track tribute to Ascot. And next year, we're going to do a track tribute to Williams Grove Speedway in the National Open. So we're shifting gears a little bit from the salute to champions that we've done in the past with those 10 drivers. Now we're going to feature racetracks. So we're moving into telling people more about the racetracks, the history of the races that transpired in the past at those racetracks, the drivers that race there. It helps our museum, opens us up to have a variety of drivers that we bring in instead of just focusing on one driver like we did with the Salute to Champions. So like you can see with the Salute to the track tribute to Ascot, we have a variety of race cars and race car drivers that are represented with that exhibit.
What is your favorite car of that exhibit downstairs?
Believe it or not, I think it's the Parnelli Jones Midget that he raced in the Turkey Night Grand Prix. It's a very beautiful midget, small car. It reminds me a lot of when I was younger and went to the races in Kansas City with my brother and my dad, Olympic Stadium on Sunday nights. The cars looked like that when I was young. They didn't have roll cages. They just had the roll bar on them. You could see the drivers. They had the open helmets. They had the handkerchief across their face. It was just a different era, and I kind of like thinking about those days. It reminds me of that.
You know, the car that stands out to me the most down there, and I can't think of who the driver was or what car it is, but it's the unrestored car that is down there right now. That's got to be my favorite. I love the patina on those old race cars that haven't been restored.
That's a very famous race car. It's the last sprint car. It's the only sprint car, four-bar car, that Bruce Brahmy, one of our Hall of Fame inductees, built. Jimmy Oskey drove the race car, and he's another one of our Hall of Fame inductees. And the nickname of that car that you like so much is called Old Paint. So it's pretty impressive car.
Well, Bob, I've got to just tell you, we appreciate your support of Mostly Motorsports. You've been a great supporter of the Racing Boys for many years, and we love coming up here and doing our broadcast from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. We're going to do it a little bit next week. Thank you so much for being a great contributor to Racing Boys. Kirk and I can't thank you enough.
Well, you and Kirk, thank you for keeping racing alive in the Kansas City area and now across the country with your blog. You know, so many people listen to you and get information on what's going on, not just in Knoxville and at our museum, but the Kansas City area and across the country, the guests that you have that come in and tell their stories, and it really helps people keep up to speed with what's going on racing-wise.
Yeah. Bob, thanks again for so much support, and we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, next week.
That sounds good. Thank you very much, Scott.
There you have it. That's Bob Baker joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill back at Racing Boys HQ, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time, we will be live with Track Talk. Kirk and I have been doing that show for 22 years together, and it will be live on Sports Radio 810 WHB tomorrow morning, as well as live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and RacingBoys.com. For Kirk, for Austin, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.